Even Smitty uncaged. They let Smitty out of the cage today. That's good. Hey, rock climbers, thanks for being in here. You guys are dismissed to go to your classes. What's that? Love you, buddy. Hey, yeah. No, that's a look at that. That's a blessing. Look at all those kids. Wow. Yeah, the biggest kid. The chief rock climber, that's what we'll call him. Yeah. So if you hear that phrase, rock climber, refers to the students who are from kindergarten through sixth grade. And then beyond sixth grade, so middle schoolers, high schoolers, they're in our youth group. So that's kind of how we have that split up. So a lot of Sundays they may be in here singing with us, the grade school age students, and then they go up to their class. So we're going through the book of Acts, and I'm pretty excited about it, and here's why. More and more that I look out beyond our walls, right? I'm very thankful for this fellowship and our church family. It is a tremendous blessing. But we're one fellowship of so many that make up the church, right? I mean, you understand that, right? The church would not be the building. The building's a blessing. The church are us, the people, the believers, the followers, those who belong to Jesus. And so many of the believers, the brothers and sisters, the saints, choose your word to describe those are our meeting. So it's exciting because there's a lot of people talking about these same sort of things, or the conversation seems the same. And so I feel encouraged because the scripture tells us that really what unites us is this one spirit that's alive in all of us who are his. And that spirit is not giving his own words, but telling us what's going on in the realm spiritually, what God's up to, what Jesus is up to. He's reminding us of what Jesus already told us and leading us into all truth. And so the fact that more than one group in more than one town is wrestling with the same things, that's awesome to me, right? So grab your Bibles. We're in the book of Acts. Acts 2, 42 through 47. Let's just begin this with a prayer. Lord, I want more of you and less than me. And I don't understand how that works completely, but I can tell you the peace I know now is the more I surrender and the more I still and the more I pause and let you intercede, let you lead, there becomes more of you and less of me. So I pray now that we're in the book of Acts, that it would be less of us, less of everything that we think we know about this, and more about teach us, God, what you want us to learn, what you're doing in this fellowship of believers, and how you're using this section of scripture in Acts to teach us and grow us and lead us into all truth. We pray this. We beg for this. In your name. Amen. Okay. You see that word koinonia? You guys know where we're going, right? If you've been in church any point in time. Acts 2, 42 through 47. 42. And it goes like this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. 44, and all who were together and had all things together, or all things in common, I'm sorry, let me read that again. And all who were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So help me out here. Guys, we have a problem. What we do is we come to a gathering like this and you depend on the guy speaking to know it all and tell you what you're supposed to know. So can we just like, I'm going to talk a lot more than you, but will you join me in this so that it matters and that you learn? So tell me, where should we go now? Here's the scripture. We have it. Where do we go when we read this scripture? It's a word, right? It's a word. Fellowship. We heard it over here, right? Fellowship. Fellowship. Joe, what kind of things do we say about fellowship? Food, yeah, yeah. Somebody else, fellowship, friends, right? What else do we say about fellowship? It doesn't have to be, you know, what fellowship looks like, but what are the things we say? It could be anything. What's that? Encouragement. Sharing. Comfort. Belonging. Family. Belonging. Shared knowledge. Enjoyment. Wow, that's really good. Do we need it or do we not need it? Right. Is that true or is that just because someone told you that? It's true. I believe it's true. Fun fact, if you will, okay? God is a triune God. Like He, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I've heard this taught, and I think that is fascinating, that the Creator who created us in His image has fellowship, even within Himself. I don't get it. Like, we could spend 3 days talking about it, and your life wouldn't change. Your head would hurt. Your life wouldn't change. Let's talk about lives changed. So leave that right there, fellowship. Here's the problem. So I've been pastoring in one capacity or another about, I guess we're like to 9 years now. And we try to figure this out, guys. We try to figure out how can we being this local church body, encourage you to have fellowship because we know it's important. We know it's important. And so we create events, not evil, not wrong to create events. We watched the Super Bowl together, some of us. More people ate ribs and talked to each other, which was probably more fun. You know, we had a good time. Really good. Really a form of fellowship. But not the one answer. We live in a culture, okay, the flow of the world wants to keep us apart, keep us alone, keep us busy, keep us counter to what we were designed to be and do. Do you believe that? I mean, I believe it. Now, what's that? Conspiracy. I mean, it is, right? We forget about that because we don't want to give him too much focus, but we have an enemy that if he can keep us discouraged and apart, he's going to gain a lot of ground. It is a conspiracy. It is a design, and like it or not, he has some power and some authority in this earth we're living in. And until we call on the one who has more power than him, he gets to continue to do that in our lives. So here's how this looks. I come up and I say, we're going to start 5 new home fellowships and you all should be in one, right? How does that work? Come on, you know, like, you don't want to do it. You know, it wasn't your idea, it was my idea, and I tried to bully you into it. The church bullying people, and no wonder no one wants to be here and be told how bad and wrong they are. You know what's even better? Bring your friends and let them get yelled at. They'll really enjoy that. They'll want to come back and be part of that. So Joe. Hey, Joe, would you come on up, brother? Guys, this is Joe. What's up? Joe knows. This was set up. I'm not surprising him, you know. Last time he punched me when I did that. So. Guys, this is Joe. Joe, this is everybody. We'll just go by. No, Joe, just so you know, I rhymed all the time. He is one of the leaders of our youth group. So the junior high and high school students, he's a good sport, a good brother. So I called him and said, hey, you're not allergic to peanut butter, are you? And he said, no. And so that was good enough. So we got volunteered. So what I'm beginning to see here, guys, as we go through the book of Acts, there's awesome teaching and there's a lot of truth here. Now, the problem we run into is I think the order of things and the order in which we put things. So I wanted to illustrate that because you'll forget everything I say, but you still remember from 3 years ago, Joe, when I put chocolate syrup on my head. So I'm learning this crowd and what really speaks to them. So let me give you an illustration. So I thought, now, mate, good thing you're not bald. About that, you know, when you get to heaven and everyone's bald, you're going to have to ask Smitty and I how to make it work, but it's going to be a glorious day. So I found this in the scripture, and I'll just point this knife at you. It says things like, you need fellowship, so do fellowship. So we, in our best attempt, because understand, even in the spirit, right now until Jesus comes back, he's going to lead us into all truth, but not right away. Does that make sense? You don't just wake up and you get everything, right? Like, wow, that guy all of a sudden uses 100% of his brain, understands everything that's going on. No, that's not how it works. It comes in pieces. So one part we understand, the next part, we're so confused or we're way off. Hopefully over time, our thoughts, desires, and voices in us become more like God's desires and voice in us. And then we're right more often than we were before, okay? So I thought about the order in which things are said, and I said, you know what's funny? Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I wanted Joe, would you stick your hand out for me? So peanut butter, I got crunchy, right? Because we're a little bit nutty here, so that works good for us. Crunchy peanut butter and jelly. No GMOs in this, you're good. You're good. And if you Google sandwich, it's going to be important that you have bread. So we got bread. That's the sandwich part. Okay. Now, what happens if I just say peanut butter and jelly sandwich and I take it at face value for the order, here's what's going to happen. Okay, we're going to make a sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly. So we start with peanut butter. Now, maybe a little bit more. I like peanut butter. Okay. Peanut butter. Joe really likes peanut butter. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, peanut butter. They won't even remember what verse, what book we're in, but they'll remember this, I guarantee you. So peanut butter and jelly. Don't worry, it's organic. Jelly. Okay, jelly. Peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Got a toothpick?
Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, what has happened when we got things out of order? Mess. Right? When we get things out of order, it creates a mess. Okay, Joe, before, unless you want to eat that, man, but here's like a little bit of dumping station for you if you want. If you want to do that, I appreciate you being a good. Oh, look at that. Also, yeah, when you get it out of order, you make a mess, it sticks with you, right? It's hard to get out of. It sticks with you.
That's true.
You could use this bad boy and wipe, give it a little wipe before you. Ooh, nice, nice.
That was theatrical. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe, for being such a good sport. Okay, now, so maybe that helps, maybe it doesn't. I got a picture. Will you go to the next slide, please? I want to show you this picture in case that doesn't help. Maybe this helps. You heard the saying, the cart before the horse. The horse is not really sure what to do with this because the horse is supposed to come before the cart. So that's a lot of fun, Will, but why does this matter? What does this have to do with Acts 2? In general, what God is asking me to do without a doubt is to come before him with a clean slate and ask him to lead me and teach me what he wants me to know and ask him to lead me and teach me what to share with you. I have absolutely no doubt about this. And I think what's so important here is I have a great deal of respect and love for all those who preached the word before me and the ones who taught it to me. But I have a responsibility to each one of you in these last days, whatever that means, okay? I know that as evil ramps up, as darkness ramps up, and no one can deny that it is. Yeah. Is it worse than generations before us? I wasn't there, right? I wasn't there. I know that evil is here. I know that it's at play. When we talk about it, when we share life together, I see this. And Paul told us, guys, you got to understand, Paul told us that a lot of this coming at us is spiritual, okay? A lot of this, even the people who hurt you are hurting you from a deceived and hurt place. Who you battle against is not the flesh and blood that you see, but the rulers and the principalities and the darkness in the spiritual realm, right? It's basically what he's trying to get across. So I have a great deal of respect for that. However, for me just to say, do fellowship. Do more fellowship. It's not going to work because it's the cart, not the horse. It's the peanut butter. It's not the bread. To get the bread, we have to kind of rewind, if you will, okay? If we go back to Acts 2:37, and you can look here. I want you to not just take my word for it. Remember what happened in Acts 2. The disciples were told when Jesus, you know, ascended back into heaven, they were told, listen, stay in Jerusalem until what the Father promised, and I'm using my own words, I'm not reading this part, guys. Until what the Father promised you, what I promised you comes, you'll be clothed with power from on high, and then you'll be able to carry out the Great Commission, which is to go out from where you are and be a witness to all the nations and all the peoples about Jesus, the Son of God, and about God and how good he is. But wait there for that to happen, and we went over this fact that after Jesus left, somewhere near 10 days, they were kind of waiting, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they began to speak in foreign languages understood by the foreign visitors in their land. And those who didn't understand called them crazy or drunk. Peter gets up and delivers this whole message, and then it says that what he said in the witness of the Holy Spirit cut to the heart of them. And the people who heard and who understand, they said this, guys, to these followers of Jesus, they said, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? And I think this is brilliant because this is us. Like, if you're part of different groups here, I think a lot of us are saying, wow, you know, we're here because we want to know afresh what it is that you want us to do. You are a God that doesn't change, but our time and our specific callings and ministries can change. You change. I hope. So to come before God and be like, God, what shall we do? And that's what these guys did. These guys, this is all they knew of this new Messiah because they didn't see Jesus. They didn't have communion with him. They had the witnesses, and they came to these witnesses and they said, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. Guys, what we're reading here is the bread. What we're reading here is the bread. It had to come first. before the peanut butter. So they said this, repent. That's this, the word here. I mean, it's such a church word, it's hard to keep track of. But you look at the meaning of the Greek here and it varying things it can mean, this idea of changing your mind for the better. Think differently. Change your direction, turning away from evil. What shall we do, God? Start here. Here's the bread. Repent. Change your mind towards better. Those destructive ways that are leading you into darkness, making you feel hopeless, not working for you, stop. Stop. Change direction. Change your mind. Go the other way. And then once you decide to do that because you're following Jesus, then what you got to do is you be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins will be forgiven. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've got to have your sins forgiven, receive the Holy Spirit. You're not getting the bread if you don't do this, because then the promise is for you. So many of us, we're trying to skip this part and we want the promises of God to apply to us. And it just doesn't work that way. We jump right to the peanut butter. Let's fellowship. What does that look like? Well, I don't know. I did that. Man, I was 8. I got baptized. Cool. Oh, man. Well, understand there's the changing of direction, the repentance, the changing your mind, thinking differently for the better. This should happen when you first turn to Jesus, but it's not the last time that's going to happen. You get that? Like, we can easily be swayed and once again get on the direction, the path that leads to destruction is what this Bible says. It takes many faces. I mean, you would all have testimonies either where you're at or where you've been that was clearly a road to destruction. And if you didn't change direction and go the right way, it would have kept going till you went right off the cliff. True? I want to throw this other scripture at you, 1 Corinthians 2:13. Love 1 Corinthians. It's a letter from Paul, is who they credit it to the church at Corinth. New Christians. These guys changed the direction of their life. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. No more. Now God knows. They know it. They've got to change the direction of their life. And this is what he said. He said, now that they've been redeemed, they've been forgiven, they've become saints, they're no longer to walk in those old ways. He says, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Which Spirit? Holy Spirit, right? Explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. What's funny is we can actually do man-made spiritual things, right? And we can pass those off as spiritual things. So there's a danger here. I get it. No wonder most Christians just want to stay away from that and they live in the flesh, but they're submitting themselves to torture in doing that. Like, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You don't fight spirit with flesh. You know, you've seen a ghost movie, someone punches a ghost and right through them. Okay. Although that may be fiction, there is truth to that, that you've got to fight with the appropriate weapon. What should we do, God? With all that's going on, no matter how much I know you, I don't even know what's going on inside your heart right now. I don't know what you came from this morning. I don't know what you're going into. I don't know what happened to you last week, let alone when you were 5. How can I encourage you, lead you, love you in my own flesh when I'm so limited? I have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to tell me what and when you need whatever it is that you need from me. So the new reality, the bread is this, that these people no longer simply operated in their own flesh. They didn't simply institute man-made plans. They didn't. They were led by the Spirit. And it's more than a church phrase, right? It is really that submission of self in the things that I think I should do to waiting on God to tell me what it is I should do and walk in that. Does that make sense? Do you guys see kind of the layout of the bread? The bread is the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you won't get the peanut butter or the jelly. If you do, it's a mess. It's angry people. How come no one will hang out with me, right? Or I put a party together and one person showed up. Well, you didn't do it for their favor. I hope you did it because you felt led by the Holy Spirit to do it. It isn't even so much about what you do. It's that you have this one Spirit together. That's where it starts. You have that in common with all the other believers. So now that we have the bread, if you will, let's talk about what goes inside the bread. Acts 2:42, and it says, and they devoted themselves to. Let's stop there, okay? Greek word for devoted, it means to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, or when it refers to a place, to attend all its exercises, or when it refers to a person, to adhere closely to. If you were as a servitor, as a servant, it would be giving yourself continuously. Or to continue in or with or to wait on continually. You guys getting tired yet? Getting groggy eyes? Do we need to do some push-ups, something? This is hard. Okay. Will I look at this in my words right now? And that means what I know is this has to do with making a decision. Making a decision. This is what they had to do. They started by getting the Spirit. And in the Spirit, they were convicted that this was so important that they wanted to devote themselves to it. Right? Because the world in every one of your phases of life is going to give you all its checklist of things to do. I have kids. It's crazy, you know. I don't know how many field trip forms you have to fill out and how many meetings you have to go to and the award ceremonies. If they do sports, it's different. And then homework every night and stop them from crying because of the homework every night, right? And then, you know, well, they've got to go to some kind of honors program so they can get in college someday and have a good life. So there's this kind of pressure. Then you have a house you have to clean, right? They got to eat, like, three times a day, and what do you, right? And then you clean up after that, and then there's this woman you live with, you remember her, but you like to hang out with her too sometimes, so you try to do that, and all these things in the world are pulling from me, and if I'm not convinced that something's important, there's no room for it in my life. And if I'm not convinced it's most important, let me put it that way, because there's a lot of really important things I have to say no to. That's this. Okay, so they decided, they were committed, they thought it was most important for what? What's the list? The list here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Look up the original words, guys, it's not fancier than that. It really is the things they said and taught and the things they modeled, an example. In the witness they gave. That's what it is. They thought it was so important. They wanted to be devoted to come towards that, to be where these guys who had been with God as man had been. They had to hear about the feeding of the 5,000 firsthand. They had to hear about raising Lazarus from the dead firsthand. Maybe all of them weren't there. They were taught. They were in the presence. They were modeled. It's this discipleship. It's not a Sunday night class. It's actually the act of being together and learning from one another, right? Then the next one is fellowship. That was the word we wanted to get to. Right now, we're with the peanut butter. The breaking of bread. The word there, you know, it was common for them to make the way they made the bread. It was harder than the oral wheat bread you're getting at the store, and it was thinner. And so instead of cutting it, they would break it. So it could have literally meant the breaking of that bread or, in general, eating food together. So that's another thing they thought was really important, to be together, to eat. Amen, right? Yeah, that's right. Growing in the faith is important. So, and then prayers, not just requests, but the act of a full prayer life, the communion through the Holy Spirit with God. The speaking and the listening and all the things that goes into prayer. They thought these four things were really important. because they had the Spirit and the Spirit convinced them these were important. So then, right, bread, Spirit, repented, forgiven, sold out for Christ. Pretty sure he's going to come back tomorrow. That's how they were living. So they made the decision that this was so important. So they devoted themselves to it. Okay, let me pull out one, because this is the one thing that I think is probably the first thing to talk about, because I believe the teaching and the sharing and the breaking of bread and the prayer can best happen when we're together. So let's pull out fellowship. Juan, what's the Spanish word for fellowship? Okay, I won't even try to repeat that. I'll have to practice that one, okay? So, yeah, I don't know that one. They teach me that in Spanish, too, over at the high school. So it's not on the Duolingo app either. So we'll go. You got it. That's good. Okay. So fellowship. Let's pull that out. What is this fellowship? Okay, the Greek word. This is the one I'm actually going to attempt, okay? Koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word. And there's the fancy Greek writing, because now you think I'm smarter than I am, and I know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, good. I'm not. It's called the internet. There's actually a few good things on there. So the Greek word here refers to partnership, participation, community, communion, fellowship. The word here, the coin word, the root of that has to do with common. It's this commonality. It's finding this common. It's being together. It's unity. It's all those things that we think it is. Does that help at all? If you look at it that way, okay. A partnership, a participation, community, communion, fellowship. Well, fellowship manifested in Acts, I wrote this note down here, as the practical effects of fellowship with God. Once again, first things first. These men and women had fellowship with God. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Through their time with the Lord, they created first, the bread of this was the fellowship with God brought on by the Holy Spirit in their lives, the lives of the believers as an outcome of faith. Well, how's that supposed to help? Well, I think you can be encouraged. The things that you enjoy doing, I think a lot of those, you know, with the right focus and with the right group of people, could be a holy fellowship. All of those are a fellowship. It's finding this, it's this common, it's this being together, it's a partnership, working together, it's participating, it's community, it's common, it's communion, it's fellowship. They thought this was really important. They thought it was really important. And let me show you the next part here. Acts 2:44 says this. And I underlined it because I missed this so many times I read this. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Hey, be together and have all things in common. That's what I've been told. Right? That's what I've been told, like, you know, have fellowship with other believers. Is it true? Yeah? Here, okay, let's speak up. Yeah, everyone say yeah. Unless you think no, then please say no so we can tell me I'm wrong. But this is it. They believed. What did they believe? Why could they do this? What did they believe? Okay, really answer. What do we believe? What did they believe? What's that? Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that God promised that they've been foretold about, right? He's going to save them. What else did they believe? The resurrection. They believe the resurrection, right? What else did they believe? What's that? Baptism? That he was coming back? Did someone say? Did you say that? Yeah. Oh, back there, okay. Baptism. Yeah, I mean, guys, they hyper-believed, okay, because they knew Jesus was coming back, and they were pretty sure they wouldn't reach the grave and die, right? The first death before he came back. They were not afraid. They weren't worried about the meal or the status or like all these things that catch us. Even the best believers, we worry about that. And so there is, for lack of a better word, there is some unbelief in our lives. And because of that, I think it's harder for us to come together and be that sold out. And then it goes on to say, because they believed and they had all things in common, they were all together, they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. We don't like that one. Can we just do like a la carte Bible here and just cut some of these things out? Because, wait, get your purse. I think Will's going to tell us to sell our things and give it to one another. No, they did this. Say that. They did this. It's true. Okay? I got to watch this guy right here. So, okay. Now, looking at this, though, what I don't want to do, guys, remember, let's go back to, I got to come into this without all the presuppositions, without all the beliefs fed to me by other men, even in their good intentions, because they knew in part, and then they had to fill in the rest by what they believed was true. And most of that was formed by what a man told them. Okay, let's stop back. Let's go to the scripture and then depend on the Holy Spirit to fill in the gaps. Okay, so starting back, they did this. They did this. But also, to go back a little further, looking at the scripture, well, if you remember, there was a commandment given, thou shalt not steal. You guys remember that? Moses, tablets, desert, right? Wilderness, whatever you would call it. In that command, they're assuming there's a right to personal property. Right? God is not against personal property. That's what that tells me. Okay? This is what that scripture says, that this is what the Holy Spirit tells me. Well, he's told other people. God's not against that personal property. Okay? Acts 5:4, they talk about this, and you can see this here. Them doing this, selling their property, it was all voluntary. It wasn't forced on them. When it went wrong is when they lied to God and said, I've sold it, and here's the money, and, right? Like, I'm going to sell it and give you the money, and then they don't carry through what they say they're going to do. Disobey God, serious consequences. So based on the scripture, what I'm saying is I come to believe, based on that scripture and the discernment of the Holy Spirit in me, supported by the discernment of the Holy Spirit and other people that I've kind of read their commentaries and what they were thinking about that, there really is nowhere where it's commanding you and I to do the same thing. Okay, you can breathe. That's good, right? Also, you also kind of look at that too, and you'll see in some of the letters, like in Romans, it talks about there was believers in Jerusalem that were in poverty. So the point of this was not to help everyone in poverty, right? And I think we do that. We take a social cause. We want to end all poverty and hunger. But when Jesus was with us, he said, you're always going to have that. So what's important is I'm not always going to be here. And yes, we care for them, but that's not the bread, that's the peanut butter. This is what you get first. Okay. We love that. Okay. Oh, geez, Will, you made me feel a lot better, man, because we don't have to sell all our property and give it to so-and-so, you know, because I worked hard for that. I mean, they like that. Well, why was it in the Bible? That's my question. Why was it in the Bible? Luke wrote it down because it was something praiseworthy that happened. It was an awesome thing that happened. Luke recorded it because it was something he wanted to point out as praiseworthy. But it was never about the things or the money. They believed Jesus. They believed the Holy Spirit. They were free. Right? Us in America, Christianity, not so much free, a lot of us. Right? So there's fear. There's this is mine. It's my last cookie, right? Right? Like, my precious. And we do these kind of things because we're not free because we don't believe. We want to throw the peanut butter at each other. We never get the bread out. The truth is, his perfect love cast out all their fear. The scripture says that. They could love one another. Why? Because they'd received the love of the Father. We love each other. We love him because he first loved us. That's what the Bible says. Right? You read that? It's really true. You don't just memorize it and it's some sort of philosophy that you could have that isn't practical. No. Guys, here is what, in the last days, what God's calling the believers to. He's going to call us into deep and intimate fellowship with him and with each other through the Holy Spirit as our commonality. And so I want to stop preaching about the things. Let's start with the Spirit, and then we'll get the peanut butter. Let's start with the bread, peanut butter, and jelly. Yes, by all means. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. First things first, walk by the Spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then you skip down a couple of verses, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Wow, Jesus, thank you. So what do we do? Lord, what is it that we do? What do we do with this? Should we start selling our things? Give them so that way we would have money to help those in need? I don't know. Should we be together more than we are? Yeah, probably. Should, what does that look like? I don't know. Women doing crafts together, is that what he wanted us to do? Maybe. Watching a football game or eating a barbecue. But guys, we are designing a cart with no horse. A friend of mine challenged me this week. They said, I see that the Lord's working, you know, and he's like renewing, he's refreshing and making new his believers for whatever he has next. And I believe that is 100% true, my friends. Just spent a little time on YouTube looking at what Christians are talking about around the world, and there is this, if we're going to survive, we need him. We need the bread. We need Holy Spirit. We need that so we can begin at a common place. And then we need to be devoted. But this friend, she asked me, she says, well, if you could start over again and you had a group of people together, because we have a group of people together. And, you know, if you've been here for some time, I think you're on board with this. Our conversation, some of you guys are excited. There's quite a few groups actually studying similar material or through the book of Acts. And none of these, here's the beautiful thing, none of these were even requested by me or the church. This was the Holy Spirit. Because the best I can do is make you hungry. Like, I could barely feed you here. I mean, I've got this limited amount of time before your stomach, you fall asleep, your stomach's growling, like, I want to make you hungry to go before the Lord to see what's next. But what could you do, Will, if you had a group of people sold out for God who believed him? Who believed him and wanted to go deeper in that belief towards freedom? What would you do if you had them? Where would you start? And silly Will, right? I'm just like, okay. I don't want to answer like all the peanut butter and jelly things. Well, maybe you could pray or you could have a meeting. It's like, no, I can't say that. And then she's like, well, if you walk in the Spirit, what's that look like? I mean, do you guys understand there's gifts of the Spirit and then there's the fruit of the Spirit? When those gifts are exercised, when you surrender and the Holy Spirit takes first place, what comes out of you and out of your life is the byproduct of these things is what they call the fruit of the Spirit. The first one, the greatest of these, is love. Ah, Lord, I think that's the answer. So I come before you in a loving way. I come before God in a loving way because I need your help. Whatever God's going to do in this place and in our community and all the places that we go, it's on you. Am I responsible to open this church up for opportunities to fellowship? For sure. Yeah, like for sure. And will some of those be initiated by me? Probably, because I think it's important. Will some of those be initiated by different ministries in the church? Sure. But what is it that God's asking you to do? So I want the praise team to come up. And I want to do something that I think is just so important going forward, but it might feel a little awkward, okay? You guys know what happens now? Usually, like, I try to pressure you right into making a decision for Christ. This is what we do in churches. Like, yeah, you're right. I'm awful. Please, yeah, save me for the 10th time, Lord. Okay, yeah, we could do that. But I want to devote ourselves to prayer. And I don't really know what that looks like other than choosing it time and time again. So I've asked Katie and the praise team just to play. And Anthony, if you go down with the lights, I wanna give this to the Lord. I want to ask the Holy Spirit what we should do. And I don't know we all have the same answer necessarily, because for some of you guys, let's put it real plain and simple, you've never even believed. Never even believed. And I'm going to be up here, and Juan, if you come down here too, we're going to pray ourselves. But if you need prayer for anything, whatever the Holy Spirit has got on your heart, and maybe it is, I believe I need more fellowship. Pray with me that the Holy Spirit would show me what that looks like. I want the bread first. I know I need the peanut butter, but I want the bread. Maybe you need to pray with someone just around you, because I don't have like extra holy prayers that they don't. Probably better at praying than I am, a lot of you. You could pray together, but I just wonder what God's going to do in the midst of these people and in our lives that's going to create, right? The revival is the term they'd use, but a recommitment, a new fire for Him. What is He asking you to be devoted to that you never have before? Lord, I surrender my agenda. I surrender what I think it could be. I don't know what your sons and daughters need here. I don't know. So I come to you completely confident. You've proved over and over again you are the Lord and you are good and you are all powerful. And so, Holy Spirit, I invite you to speak. I invite you to lead. I invite you to comfort and convict and encourage and do all the things that you do in this midst. And we'll play music and we'll be still. Lord, speak your will.
does not run dry, so I wait for you. So I